I'm Olympic and world champion diver, Laura Wilkinson, and this is the Pursuit of Gold podcast. Each week, we are unlocking the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual tools that help athletes reach their biggest goals in sports. I'm very excited for today's guest, who is a young, up-and-coming gymnast that is just right down the road for me at the World Champion Center. Dulce Kaler burst onto the scene in 2022, competing at the Pan American Championships as a junior. There, she took the team and all-around gold medals, as well as silver on vault and bronze on the balance beam. And just recently, at 16 years old, she placed fifth at the 2024 Winter Cup and competed in her first senior international competition in Stuttgart, Germany, winning gold in the team event. She has her eyes set on qualifying for the 2024 Olympic trials and to one day become an Olympian and a collegiate gymnast. Dulce opens up with us today and talks about how she has a history of letting nerves get to her in competition. She also shares the ups and downs that she's gone through, from moving across the country to amazing breakthroughs to setbacks, and her continued determination to push forward and make her dreams a reality. If you caught it, I just mentioned that Dulce lets nerves get to her sometimes. Does that sound familiar? Even the most elite athletes battle with fear, nerves, anxiety, imposter syndrome, you name it, the list goes on. So if this sounds like you, know these two things. First, you're in good company, as all the athletes on this podcast have faced some of those same roadblocks. And second, they are overcomable. They are work throughable. Just like athletes train their bodies to perform the skills necessary to physically compete, athletes also need to train their minds to allow their bodies to perform those physical skills when it matters the most. This is the aspect of training and competing that I loved the most during my career, and I now teach athletes how to master their own mindset and grow in confidence. I help athletes with a range of things, from learning how to stay focused during competition, to working through mental blocks, to being confident in their competition. Every athlete has a unique journey and a unique set of challenges that they encounter. One-on-one coaching allows me to offer individualized support so that we can start where you need the most guidance and move forward at your pace. If you want to learn more about one-on-one coaching with me, visit laurawilkinson.com/coaching. That's laurawilkinson.com/coaching. All right, before we get started, make sure you smash that subscribe button and give Pursuit of Gold a 5-star review. And please share this episode and your favorite episodes with your friends so that we can continue to grow and reach more athletes, coaches, and parents. And that helps us continue to bring you more resources, tools, and inspiration. All right, I believe that there's gold in your future, so let's dive on into this episode. Dulce Kaler, welcome to the Pursuit of Gold podcast. I am super excited to hear your story today.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to steal one of Cecile's up-and-coming students. So I know Cecile through her daughter from diving, and it's just so cool that she is like leading the world of gymnastics where you are. So how long have you been at World Champion Center with her?
I've been here for about 2.5 years now.
Okay, so walk me through like the beginning. I mean, did you start gymnastics in diapers from the womb? Were you a latecomer? Like, what's your story? How did you get into it?
I would say I'm kind of a latecomer. I started when I was 6.
Ancient.
I know, so old. But I know Simona started at 6, so it changes. But I would say I'm a little later than some people. My mom had a furniture building business. Fun fact about that I wanted to add. Her maiden name is Wilkinson.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We're going to have to do some research and see if we're somehow distantly related.
Yeah. But she had that business and she didn't want to keep me and my sister cooped up. So we went in gymnastics camp and fell in love with it.
Oh, that's cool. So your sister's older or younger?
Older than me.
Okay. And you both fell in love?
She liked it for a little bit, but she took after my mom a bit more with the soccer and track. I was more of the gymnastics.
Gotcha. Like, what was your road like, kind of just starting it? You loved it from a young age, but like, when did it really become this thing where you're like, I want to really go places with this sport?
I don't know exactly when it started because I just loved the sport. I loved the flipping. I loved trying to get new skills, just in general. As I love to say, I am obsessed with gymnastics. Mm-hmm. But I think once I started getting into level 9, level 8, whenever I really wanted to move up levels, I went 7 to 8, 7 to 9, sorry. And I was like, I really want to go as far as I can with this. I watched 2016 Olympics. I was like, this is my dream. This is my goal. I really, really want to do this.
And so how old were you about when that happened?
I would say 11-ish, 11, 12, maybe. Yeah.
And you're just like, this is it. This is where I'm going.
I want to do this.
That's awesome. So was it just like this super easy ride for you? Were there any bumps along the road, or has it just been this pretty much straight dream shot so far?
There has definitely been bumps in the road. There's been some fears, just nerves in general. At competitions, I have a history of letting the nerves get to me. And I'm really, really trying to work on that, especially this season, because last season was kind of showed that a lot of mistakes, a lot of falls, a lot of things that were just my fault because I let myself get too nervous. And this year, there's still some things I'm working on, but I feel like it's a little better. But overall, coming to this point, even like through levels that I've done, it's not been perfect, but it's been something I would never change.
That's cool. I love it. Well, so, and I love that you're honest and like there are bumps, like nobody has this perfect straight shot. We all think it's supposed to be for some reason. I don't know why. We've seen movies. No. We know there's a plot twist, right? There are always bumps along the road, but that, know. You know, that's you what makes you stronger, right?
Like, come on. Why is that?
Right. I want to ask, like, at what point, because do you homeschool now, right?
Yes, I do.
At what point did it get serious enough for you to do that? Or did you just homeschool from the beginning?
The last year of public school I did was second grade.
Okay.
And the gym I was at, it was a online school, but we all the girls at the gym kind of stayed together. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't at home, but it was still something different. And I knew that's when I was like, all right, this is getting serious, but I was still having so much fun and I still have fun to this day, but it gets serious. And I'm like, okay, I have learned to have fun with the seriousness.
Ooh, I like that. Learn to have fun with the serious. Okay. Does it make it harder though, when all of a sudden there's a big change like that, that it gets serious, you know, air quotes over here, serious, like you're now giving up school or walking away and doing something different, like you said, does that change the way you look at it? Or is that exciting? Or does that pose fears?
I think that, at least to me, it's very exciting because it kind of shows me that I'm on another step to the goal I want, to this dream I've had for so many years, that I think, yes, it can have some fears because you're like, okay, I'm getting into this, but mostly it is like, hey, I am doing this. Like, this is something new and I'm excited to do it.
Well, at what point did you make that big move? Because like that's to come all the way, like where are you from originally?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. And we're just north of Houston. So that's a bit of a hike. At what point, because this is another serious decision, do you move all the way over? Did your entire family move?
Yes. Originally, I moved to Texas Dreams Gymnastics. And I was there for, I believe, 3 years, maybe almost four. Mm-hmm. And that was the first big move that kind of, it was a lot of gymnastics oriented. Of course, my mom and my family kind of wanted somewhere warmer, but I like to say that. So it's not fully gymnastics, I think, but that was a very big move that I don't find, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is there's pressure with that because I really want to show that we didn't do this, all of this sacrifice for nothing, but it's nothing like, oh my goodness, I'm going to disappoint my family because of that. Like my family is unbelievably supportive and I'm very grateful that they have moved to Texas and then moved down to Houston again after that. And I love it so much.
At what point do you realize that that's a thing you can or should do, like to move across the country like that? Do you just get to a certain level at the gym you're at, like can't really take you any further? Is that kind of what happens? Or are you just so intense? You're like, I think I need to go somewhere else. Like, I don't know. How does that work for you? I mean, that happens in my sport all the time too, but I'm just kind of curious how it played out for you.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of different stories that people have for moving gyms, but mine was the gym in North Carolina didn't really do elite. And I knew I wanted to go that route. And at the time, Texas Dreams was my goal. I was like, hey, I tried out there. I was like, this is awesome. There's other elite gymnasts here. And I really want to train to get as far as I can. And it was that. And then Texas Dreams to WCC was, it just, I think I grew and it wasn't the right fit for me. I needed a little bit of higher expectations. Most of the elite girls that were there were going to college. It was different. They were ready for the next step. And I wanted something more. And WCC was perfect.
Oh, that's awesome. And you've been here 2.5 years now, you said?
Yes.
That's awesome. So What has that kind of rise been like? Because a couple of years ago, you made your first like junior international. Tell us about that event. It was Junior Pan Ams, right? And that was your big first international meet. Like, tell us about what qualifying for that was like and then actually being at the competition.
Oh my goodness. That was, I think, out of body kind of, because going into that camp, I was just, hey, I want to get my championship score. I want to have as much fun as I can. I've never done something like this before. And then Cecile, after the competition, showed me where I was placed. And I was like, oh, maybe, but I'm still very new. They're most likely not going to choose me. And then when they did, I was just so incredibly grateful. It was incredible. And actually getting to go there was something that I was just, I'm going to have as much fun as I can. That was my first time out of the country even. That was very, very, very fun to do.
Where was it? Was it Rio?
Yes, Rio.
Was it what you thought it would be going out of the country? Was it totally different? Did you even get to see the city, or were you just like at the gym the whole time or at the arena?
We were very lucky because at the last day of the trip, we had absolutely nothing. It was after the competition was done. So we had a full day of just getting to walk around. We went on like gondola ride. It was just to see everything. It's so beautiful there. It was more than what I thought it would be to get out of the country.
Did you get to see the big Jesus statue on the mountain?
I didn't get to see that, but it was still the beaches, just everything, just feeling different, but in a good way, was really fun.
Yeah, it is gorgeous. I did get to sneak out there. I was helping with media at the 2016 Olympics. And so we did get to go see the statue one day, but it was like 50 mile an hour winds. So we could barely, it was so cold and we could barely stand up. It was not the most pleasant experience, but it was a pretty amazing view.
Oh, just a good picture, but not a good feeling.
It was a great photo op and we were glad it was over. Okay, so you're at this event. It's awesome. You're so excited to compete well, or just to compete, but then it went extraordinarily well. Did you even envision that happening? Was that even like a goal you had, or was this just a really great side effect? Like, did you feel like that was real?
No, it did not feel real at all. I was in the competition and I did have a fall because it was just something mess up in there. But overall, I still wanted to end well. And just, this is my first international competition. This is something that I get to do. And I was like, okay, I finished. I was really happy. I know I still had that one mess up, but I was happy about how it went. And it was one of my favorite meets I've ever done. And Zoe Malomo, one of the teammates, had told me how they're like, Dulce, you won. And I was like, are you kidding? Like, I did not believe it at all when they first told me. Even Cecile, my coach, was like, Dulce, you did win. Because I was still like, didn't really believe it.
So you don't watch the scores or anything like during, or were they not even posted?
That meet they weren't posted. So I didn't know what was going on at all.
Yeah. So were you just like, did you think they were pulling your chain? Like, did you think they were joking around, or were you like, wait, what?
I didn't think they would joke, but I was just still like, wait, are you saying like, okay, yes, the team won? Like, not me, it was the team. But to have the team win and the all around was something I did not envision happening to me at all.
That's so awesome. I know you talked about nerves a little bit. Were you nervous going into that meet at all, or just excited?
I think it was almost excited nerves, if that makes sense. Is like, I was nervous just because I didn't know what it was going to be like, but almost completely excited. That was something I was just, hey, I get to do this.
Right? That's pretty cool. So coming off of that, where is your head thinking after that? Because are you kind of on the precipice of like, you're about to go senior at that point? Are you thinking anything beyond the line? Or are you just kind of, I don't know, like walk me through where your head was after you're like home from that event, you're processing that, you're now looking forward. Like, where's your head?
My head went straight to championships after that, because I knew I had made that meet, but I wanted to make sure that wasn't a fluke. I wanted to show that I could make national team at championships. That was fully what I was focused on. It was still something that was like, hey, I get my first junior. That was my first championships also. And I was like, hey, this is fun, but I want to show that I can do that again. So that was something that I thought right after.
That's something with gymnastics. I mean, you guys seem to really go junior right to senior, right to Olympics. I mean, it's the boom, boom, boom with your age. Is that overwhelming at all? Like, is it a big shift going from junior competition to senior competition? I mean, it's all still elite. Does it feel different though?
I think it does feel slightly different. A lot of girls have different reactions, but
sure.
Going from junior to senior, I was I think, not entirely ready for that because, I mean, my last season was my first year senior. I got to go to championships. I got to compete alongside Simone Biles, which is something I can't even fathom sometimes still. So I can't say it was something terrible, but it was definitely not what I wanted my season to be. And I think it was a jump just mentally. It doesn't have to be that big of a jump, but I made it a big jump in my brain.
What part do you think was the jump in your brain, like, that was causing some of the bumps, shall we say?
Yeah, I think the thought of how I was still 15, I'd be 16 to be a senior, but I have a December birthday. So I was 15 that whole year. And it shouldn't make that much of a difference. But I think I was kind of like, hey, I'm competing against 20-year-olds and these big names. And I was just, I think I didn't do the right training. I didn't get enough new skills. I was doing pretty similar routines from my junior year to senior year, which definitely does not translate very well. Gotcha. So I think that was part of it.
No, that's a big part. I love that you realize that, though. Like, you see that's kind of where your head went and that it didn't need to. But like, how do you course correct? You know, is it just because you magically turned 16 this year and now it's going to be different? Or like, it sounds like you made some intentional changes in how you're like looking at things going into this year.
Yeah, because 16 is still, unfortunately, on the other side. Simone is 27 now, but I can't let myself get in my head about that. Age doesn't matter in this now. It's 16 and up and you just have to compete with it. And I try not to think about that because Simone has her strengths of being, and all these girls that are older have their strengths of having so much experience, but I am younger and I'm trying to use that to my advantage of, I can do a lot of numbers. I can try. And I always say this thing of not doing mindless numbers.
Oh, I like that. Tell me more about that.
Yes. I think that's something I did a lot before last season, was trying to get new skills, but not actually changing to get it, just getting frustrated doing it over and over again the exact same way. Of course, it still wasn't perfect before this season. I still need to get some more skills, but I think it was better for me to, like, don't just drill yourself into the ground of just doing it over and over again. I have to actually fix things and go for things differently.
It sounds so small, like, probably when you hear yourself say it, but that's a really big change. Because some people, and this drives me crazy too, some people are like, you just have to show up. And I'm like, No. Like, everybody shows up in the workout, but like, what they're doing versus what I'm doing versus what she's doing can sometimes be totally different, right?
Completely different. Yes.
It's how you show up, right? And being willing to not just do the numbers, but like, it's those tiny little changes sometimes that are the hardest because you have to focus so different and be willing to make a change that could land you on your rear end, you know, instead of on your feet. But to make the change in order to get better, right? It's a risk you have to take. Those are tough. It sounds so simple, but it's really not.
That's why I was also so mad about it, because it sounds so easy that I could just be like, hey, just catch it, just do it. And I had to figure out a different way to go about it.
Well, so it seems like you've started the year off pretty awesome with Winter Cup. Tell us about Winter Cup.
Winter Cup was, I think I was very excited to compete again, which is a little different because of my nerves. Sometimes competitions aren't very fun because you're just fully nervous trying to get through it. But I think I was actually excited again to compete because I wanted to show off any of these new things that I had. And I had a little bit of anger too, because I'm not doing what I did last season again. I wanted to have a change, a complete different look to me. And just Winter Cup was, I think, a very good start. It wasn't perfect at all, but I think I was very happy with that overall.
What was the biggest change at that competition, do you think? Do you think it was the attitude you walked in with? Do you think it was this intentional training that you did leading up to it, or something you did in the competition? Like, what do you think were some of the biggest changes?
Definitely the training leading up to it helped. Again, not mindless, having everything has purpose, and definitely the attitude a lot though. I can't get rid of nerves. I know I'm never going to be completely fine in a competition. I care too much about what I do that that's never going to happen. So I knew, I was like, I'm just going to go for it. I don't care. This is the point of it, was to look different. I wasn't going to be stuck in my own little bubble. So I was like, hey, I'm just going to go for this as much as I can. And that should end up better anyway.
I love that. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, because nerves are normal. You should expect nerves. They're there because it's important to you, because it matters. Like, if you're not nervous, maybe you need to rethink about how you're feeling. You know what I mean? It's like, nerves aren't bad. And really, like, when we're over nervous and those nerves turn into like anxiety, a lot of times it's just what we're telling ourselves in our head. The physical reaction is often the same, nerves versus excitement. You kept saying excitement, then you kept saying nerves. It feels very much the same. It's really the story that we're telling ourselves in our head, right? Is our head running away with some anxious story, or are we feeding it like, no, I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to do something different. I'm excited to compete again. Like, what are we telling ourselves, right? Because a coach can tell you until they're blue in the face, but it's what you're telling yourself inside your head that you're going to hear every minute of that day, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You can't let anything spiral. I think that's part of what I've had. Like, some nerves will get in, and then sometimes, at least at Winter Cup, I did better at just being like, hey, it's fine. I don't care. I care too much that I'm not going to care. That sounds really weird, but
I care too much, so I'm not going to care. I love it.
Yes. I care too much, so I'm just going to go for it. And if I fall, it's better to fall going for it than something small that I hate that I did.
Don't play it safe, right? I like that. You've got some big athletes. You've got Simone, obviously a huge name, not just in gymnastics, in the world of sport now. You've also got Jordan is back training with you too, right? Jordan Chiles, who did some college and has come back to train for Paris. You've got other gymnasts training with you too. Is there, because they're older than you and they're in a different place in their life than you, is there a disconnect there? Or is it like you're all gymnasts when you're in the gym?
Of course, there's a slight disconnect just because, like you said, Simone is married. Now I'm 16. I'm perfectly fine. But what is definitely a connection between, we're all gymnasts, we're all doing this together. I think we all want the same goal. I think we all try for something. But I think a connection also is kind of, Simone kind of knows what I feel right now because she's already lived through it. Mm-hmm. So she helps. She knows that, like, she helped me, like, hey, it's okay. Like, whenever I would do drill, like whenever I'm mad or can't get something I want, she's like, hey, it's okay. Like, stop for a second. You'll be all right. Like, she helps me so much. It's very, very, very sweet of her because she's not somebody that's just too good to talk to the little girls.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's good to hear. So how many of there are you in your training group that are all trying for Paris?
I believe six or seven.
Wow. That's a big group. And how, five ultimately make it. Is that right? Is it still five?
I'm sorry. It's nine, I believe.
You have nine. Wow. That's a huge group.
Nine elites. Yes.
And five people will make the team going to Paris, right?
Yes.
Is that correct? What is that process like this year? Because it has changed. It's ebb and flowed over time. Diving is like that too. Sometimes it's a qualification. Sometimes it's a combination of things. Sometimes it's a selection. Like, what are they doing this time?
I know. I think the whole season is leading up to trials, but I know the selection committee is looking at all of the meets. They're looking at this entire season. And of course, Olympic trials is the biggest one because a lot of placements in that meet have to do with who's going to make the team. But I think they're looking at kind of everything. So I know classics in a couple of weeks and championships and camps in total, everything. They're kind of just seeing how people are consistent and also how they're going to do it under pressure at trials.
Nice. When you look forward at that, how do you feel like your training has been going? Well, first of all, take us to Germany. You're like, I can't even believe you're on this call right now. You got back, you said like 2 days ago, you're not jet lagged at all. You know, this is your first, like, besides Brazil going down there, this is your first senior international meet that you just went to in Germany. How was that? Let's back up and talk about that for a minute.
I know that was, I keep using this word, but I don't know how else to say. Absolutely incredible. It was, again, one of the most fun meets I've ever been to. Nolan Matthews and Addison Fada were great teammates because they were both there last year for the mixed fem competition. And that, I think, environment was something I've never been in because of how loud the crowd is, the actual team aspect of it. It was something that made me nervous at the same time for having team pressure, but it was something that was incredibly exciting too.
Was it really different from junior Pan Ams?
I think it was definitely different because it wasn't my first international assignment anymore. I didn't know exactly what to expect with the meet, but I had somewhat of an idea. It was definitely just a different meet overall. Instead of competing for yourself, or I know we were competing for Team USA, but you also had all around and event finals. This one was fully just team. And I think I did let some of the nerves get to me. I will say that because this season, that's what I mean. I'm still not all the way there yet with the nerves, but I'm working on it. something that was different, and I need to learn from that too.
Yeah. Well, and you're building experience in there. I mean, you only learn that by walking through it, right? They say experience is the best teacher, right? You take the test and you learn the lesson after or something like that. Yeah. So that's kind of how it goes sometimes, but that's great. Like, does that build your confidence going into all these competitions too? Like now, if you do make the Olympic team, that will not be your first big international meet. Like you've got some of these things kind of under your belt. You are growing that kind of arsenal in your tool belt, if you will.
Yeah, I think my biggest thing is that I know I need experience with the problem that I have had with nerves. The only way to get over that is to compete as much as you can. I think last year was not very good too, because I didn't have that many opportunities. I didn't have that many competitions. So this year already having Winter Cup, Germany, and now a camp coming up is something that I'm very grateful for. And leading up to the Olympics, there's so many good girls coming back, so many veterans. And my goal this season is trials. And I would love to just, that's something that is, I've dreamed of as well. So it'd be incredible if I made that.
So how do you qualify for trials then?
I am not quite sure. I will say what I think, but it might not be right.
Okay, gotcha.
After all of the meets, I think national team, after championships, when they have the national team, I believe those girls will make it. But I believe there is a few more that they will select to go.
Okay.
I am pretty sure.
Something along those lines. Gotcha. So you have to qualify for trials later on in the season. And then from there, the team will be picked. So it's kind of like they're keep whittling it down as the season goes on. Is that gotcha?
Yes.
Gotcha. So the big goal is to go to trials and do what there?
I would like to just see how high up I go, and also just see how different it feels to be at an Olympic trials. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, it's almost like Rio, where I can just have fun at that meet, because I want to be realistic with myself of how I'm most likely not going to be making that team. If that happens, of course, that would be amazing. But I think having fun and just learning what it's like to be at a trials would be something I could learn a lot from for hopefully next time.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Now, what year are you in high school? I know you homeschool, but like what year are you technically?
I will graduate in 2026.
Okay. So have you started the recruiting process, or is that starting like after the summer?
I can talk to them this summer on June 15th.
Is that still a big goal for you? Because I know I've read some articles that seemed like it was always one of your big, you know, dreams was to go compete in college.
I always have had the dream of Olympics and then college. I wanted, of course, 24 is most likely not going to happen. So
we're going to be seeing you for a while. Is that what you're telling us?
I hope so. I'd love to stay in this as long as I can, but yes, I love college gymnastics. It would be very, very fun, but I also have my eyes on 28, mm-hmm. But you never know what's going to happen in years and years. So I'm keeping my options open.
That's wise. Well, with NIL and all the changes that they've made with college, like, are you able to get sponsors now? Like even before going into college, have you been able to navigate that?
I haven't looked too much into that yet because I just haven't really thought about all that stuff yet.
I'm sure your parents have probably kind of been keeping an eye on the situation, as good parents will do. Yes.
Definitely. Definitely. My parents will do a lot of that, but that's something I'm definitely would like to do. I haven't thought about it too much. I think I might wait till more closer to college to do that. But haven't thought too much about the NIL yet.
It's just nice. It's an opportunity for athletes now. Like that wasn't a thing. We couldn't do that in any way, shape or form when I was back in my day, if I'm going to sound like really old here. That has changed a lot in the last few years. So hopefully that will give more gymnasts, like hopefully you and other gymnasts, more opportunities going to school too. But what is the balance though? Because to get to elite, like that's just a whole other ball game. And then college gymnastics, as competitive as it is, isn't quite as difficult as elite, correct?
Yeah. I think it has its own difficulties. Yes, elite routines are usually harder or a little longer, like a lot, like more skills in there. Mm-hmm. But there's also a difference with college gymnastics that you have to compete pretty much every weekend. And elite gymnastics, you have a break, you have time to fix things. And I think, yeah, there's different aspects of what's hard and what's not in each.
I feel like there's been some Olympians that have gone back to school after and then come back from college gymnastics to compete for like Olympics or the US team again. Is it hard, like from what you've seen from other gymnasts kind of going back and forth, is that transition look difficult? Or, I mean, do they still practice their skills all year? Do you have any insight on that? Or what are your thoughts on that?
haven't seen too much. I do think that some people think it's like, hey, college is easier. Like, I'll be fine. Like, it's, I'm not doing harder teens anymore, which I think, yes, that's part of it. But I do think there's different things of having to be even cleaner on the routines you're doing. But at least seeing Jordan going back and forth, I've seen her go to college and come back now. So I believe there is a little bit of a difference of getting kind of back into the elite routines, back into that kind of mindset. But she has figured it out very well, so she can switch pretty fast. Depending on the person, she could be, somebody could be pretty fast, or it might be kind of hard to keep switching like that.
No, I think that's really cool that you have gymnasts around you again from all these different backgrounds that have done different things that you can look to for like, okay, how did they do this? You know, is that what I need to do? Do I need to do something different? You know, you can learn from their wisdom and experience, if you will, you know. So take me through. I know you said there's been a lot of bumps. Can you take us through one time where you had some kind of difficulty, whether it was fear or you lost a skill or an injury or something? Walk us through what happened and how you got through it.
I would say the summer before last season was a pretty big bump because I thought I had more time than I did, because I kind of started out summer like, hey, I'm going to senior. That was a really great junior year that I was very happy about, but I needed skills and I waited too long. And again, mindless training. And it was something that I kind of beat myself up on every day. And I think going through knowing I wasn't getting skills and knowing season was starting to come up soon and faster than I had thought, I think trying to do stuff, trying to get skills, trying to get routines better, even though I knew they weren't good enough, was something pretty hard. And that's why I think I was pretty scared for Winter Cup, because I knew I wasn't ready and I wanted to show something better than what I was doing. Every day, just coming home knowing I was like, oh, it's not good. I was not ready. And I was mad about that all the time. And I think that kind of carried throughout the season, because there's even a few skills on bars that I started getting consistent and then it went away. And I was like, all right, now I don't have that either. But that's why this summer was something that right after the season ended, I was like, all right, from the start, this is different. I can't do that again. I really don't want to do that again. And of course, it's not perfect. I still, my bars is behind, but everything else, I think in general, my mindset changed, and just having to kind of snap out of it and change was something that I really had to learn. I think that was the biggest one I've had to kind of work through recently.
That's huge. I love that it was just simply you being so determined, like, no, I am changing the way I was doing this. It wasn't physically what you were doing. It was the way you were handling it in your head. And you made this huge decision and you followed suit. And like you said, it's not going to be perfect. There's never a perfect road. We are human, right? We're, yes. None of us are perfect, but it's been this way better experience for you. I hope that's building confidence for you too, that like you set your mind on something and you're following through and that makes a huge difference. Let that be a good experience and a good, you know, confidence booster along the way. That's awesome.
Yeah. And even talking to my coaches, like, I know it's up to me a lot and the coaches do help with that. They're not going to push the gymnast to do something that they don't want to do. There's no point in doing that. I think they were really good that I went to them. I was like, hey, I need a change. They pushed me when I was still doing the same thing over and over again. They helped me get through that as well.
Yeah. You got to have a support system you can trust and count on. For yeah. Sure. And that's not always the way it is in gymnastics too. I think it's come a long way from what it used to be. That's nice to hear that the coaches have been such a good positive influence on you, for sure.
Absolutely.
Now, besides, I mean, you're looking at Olympics, you're excited, but looking forward to LA 2028, like that's really exciting. That could be a hometown Olympics too. Like that would be, personally, I think that would be just epic. I miss 96. I went to the next three Olympic games, but man, that'd be amazing to compete in your own country. What do you think the state of gymnastics, though, from now until 4 years from now is going to be like? Like, has it improved so much in the last 4 years that you think it's just going to be crazy going forward? Or has it kind of stabilized a little bit? Or what do you think it's going?
I know it's so hard to tell because you never know who's going to be in it still, or any new up and comers that are going to just be like a new Simone. You never know what's going to happen, but I feel like it'll definitely be different. I feel like right now, because there's so many girls coming back, veterans that have already been to Olympics. I mean, we have three Olympic all-around champions, which is something that I never thought I'd say, are now trying to come back and compete. I think it's going to be different because I don't think that will happen again. I don't know what the plan is, though. So I think it'll be different in that way. But I think there will be a lot of new gymnasts that could be really good.
Do you think it's solely just upon the gymnasts that are coming up? Or do you think as a whole, gymnasts are pushing skill sets further? Or do you think as like someone like Simone retires, who is throwing huge tricks, that it'll go back down? I don't know. Do you have any guesses on that? Any thoughts?
I don't know.
Who pushes what? Are the skills pushing the gymnasts or the gymnasts pushing the skills, you know?
I think there will be a few girls in there that will still, the gymnast pushing the skills. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I feel like it will kind of level out a little bit, not having someone as insane as Simone in there anymore, or Suni trying to do this Jaeger full. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah. And I think there will still be girls like that, but I think it won't be as insane as now.
You never know. You might be leading the pack. You never know. Give it 4 years. Anything exactly. can happen, right? It'll be exciting. Seriously, though, I mean, like for our sport, for diving, like it seems to be event to event. Like some events have really pushed the degree of difficulty up. When I was in it, we did very easy lists in 2000. But then by 2008, we were doing dives a lot of the men weren't even doing. But then it went back down, you know, so there's, and now it's back on the rise again. So you never really know. And you never know if you might end up being the one who jumps this huge boundary. All of a sudden you can do these amazing things. You just never know. So
yeah, I would love that. It's definitely not out of the picture. I'd love to try anything.
That would be pretty exciting. What advice would you give to up and coming gymnasts or really any athletes who have big dreams, who want to do amazing things like what you're gearing up for, what you're doing right now? What advice would you have for them?
I would say, keep your dream in mind every day. If you really want it, work for it every time. As much as you can, work hard and work smart as something that is major. And I mean, it's still the sport that you loved as a kid and that you're still dreaming to have. So have fun with it every single day.
I love it. You got to remember why you're doing it. What is there anything outside of gymnastics that you see yourself doing one day? Like, do you have dreams of a certain career or is it like, I can't think past gymnastics?
I think I have a hard time thinking past gymnastics, but I mean, I'd love to do something that helps people is something that I have in my mind because I come from great genetics. If my mom was an architect and had her own business, like I said, my dad had a PhD in chemistry.
Wow.
So I don't know, maybe med school kind of way or any kind of, I love art like my mom. So something that can help people is what I say.
That's cool. The world is your oyster. Well, it sounds like you can do anything that you set your mind to. We have learned that, I think, in this episode, that if you set your mind to something, it's going to happen. So, Dulcie, where can we find you online so people can follow you and cheer you on this year and the next however many years you will be doing gymnastics?
I am really only on Instagram, and it is Dulcie the Gym Rat.
Nice.
Yes. And yeah, I think that's where you'll see me, and hopefully you can see me on TV and any kind of competitions that I can hopefully get as much as I can.
I love it. We'll be cheering you on for sure. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your story. And give Cecile a big hug from me and tell her I said hi.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. And please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. This allows us to keep bringing on amazing guests, and it also helps other athletes to find this show. Make sure to check out the show notes to follow us on social media and learn more about our awesome guest. To hear all of our amazing episodes, head on over to thepursuitofgold.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. The Pursuit of Gold is proud to be a Podigy production. That's all for now. Make sure to tune back in next week.